and welcome to the Lenovo K-12 Community Podcast. I'm Ann Panera, Lenovo's K-12 and Higher Education Community Manager, and I'll be your host. In this podcast, we'll meet the experts addressing technology trends that are driving the education sector forward today. And today on the podcast with me, I'm excited to have Jeff Palumbo, Lenovo's Global Esports Solution Manager for Education, and pretty much the resident it guy when it comes to esports at Lenovo. So Jeff, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for letting me. I appreciate it.
So Jeff, we go way back, I think even before the pandemic, but for the partners that are listening that I haven't met yet, I'm glad that you're tuning in and thanks for being here. I'm personally really excited to be here because I feel like I'm getting to live out one of my lifelong goals. In another world, I would have loved to have been a talk show host, so I feel like I'm getting to live a little bit of that today with you, Jeff. I know that Mari and Oprah and Montel, all the time that I spent with them and all the learnings that I got, I know that they would be happy to see where I am today and as far as I've come. So today we're going to be talking about how schools are transforming their CTE spaces and how our Lenovo partners can help them with that transformation. But before we get too into it, Jeff, what is a CTE space?
Well, a lot of schools that we hear, especially from a K-12 perspective, have a STEAM or a certification space that is built around engineering. You know, whether it be STEAM and STEM education, usually it's AutoCAD and the Adobe type things, robotics, all the stuff that you would see from a very engineering and science type background. And then the classroom itself is just where it's taught. What we're seeing is that a lot of schools are saying, hey, you know what, we actually need some pretty beefy computers in order to run this programming so it could actually duplicate as a gaming space or an esports space after hours, meaning that they can actually do everything they need from a curriculum-based perspective during the day, and at 2:15, they turn the lights off, they switch the other lights on, like turn on the computers into the gaming world, and off they go for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're talking about the STEM labs. This morning I was thinking about the podcast getting ready and I told my stepdaughter that I was doing it. And she, of course, wanted to hear my intro, which she said was good. But then she was saying that she had STEM today and she was like, maybe I can be on your podcast in the future. So maybe we'll have to have her on and we'll talk esports and STEM with students in the classroom. So she was really excited.
Anytime. Yeah, there's so many extensions of the STEM and STEAM programming that are in esports that really is almost in another discussion entirely, is just to what's out there, where are all these extensions, because it used to be very math heavy and science, technology, obviously, and engineering, and now all the production and all the event planning and marketing and social media and shoutcasting, which is broadcasting, those are all now new jobs. And a lot of the schools and curriculum are starting to pick up on that, wanting to teach it because kids are hungry to learn. So yes, 100%, she'll be learning all sorts of cool stuff in the very near future.
Yeah, I actually have twin stepdaughters. They're 9. One of them's, you know, really into the STEM and that kind of thing. And the other one, she's very into gaming. All she wants to do is game. And so we talked to her a lot about, you know, what else can you do? And so I love this idea of esports because I think it gives her an outlet to do something that she enjoys, but then also get the benefits from an educational perspective. So what are you seeing that the customers are doing with esports? I'm sure it's grown tremendously over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, there's over 495 million fans right now. Wow. Of esports. It's only second to soccer globally, but and you're never going to beat soccer. That's 1.9 billion. So they got a couple people watching. But really what it comes down to is a lot of schools are just starting programming, and a lot of upper management or stakeholders, whether they be CTOs or CIOs or principals or provosts, want to understand what the trends are like. They kind of get the gist about esports, but what we do or what I do is I help to consult the schools as to how to be successful in it. You know, Lenovo is a product company, obviously, you know, we're well known for our PCs, but what it really comes down to is the fact that they need help just kind of baby stepping into programming because it is so radically new. It's also going to be one of those programs that is probably the most diverse at their school. So they also want to make sure they do it right because we know that only about 10% of students actually want to be competitive. The other 90% want to do all those skill-based programs or just hang out. I think at the core, there is nothing wrong from a health and wellness perspective for a student in school to feel as though they're accepted by others. Mm-hmm. And if that's the group that they find and they used to be introverted and now they become more extroverted and learn all those soft skills, being able to speak to people, look at them in the eye. If they want to get it in competitive gaming, they can. But if they don't want to, there are a ton of other things for them to do. And I think that's really where schools are like, okay, we get that we need product, help us lay this whole thing out, but what about operations management? What about engagement? What about the brand equity? Like, they don't even think that they should get, you know, the Twitch account that matches the Twitter account, the Instagram account, the TikTok account, because they're like, what do we need all that for? I'm like, in the next year, your students are going to ask you to do production and shoutcasting. So they really are taking a methodology of, you know what, this isn't just let's put computers in a lab and let them play games. They're really starting to understand like, wow, there's actually structure around this. And then what's next? And that next year, what is it? What happens in the next year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? And I help them with that as well.
You know, one of the things that I really like about esports and that I kind of connect with was that piece that you were talking about is all of the supporting functions, if you will. You know, when I was in middle school, I tried out for the basketball team, but I'm 5'2 and extremely unathletic, so I was not going to make the team. But, you know, they came to me and said, would you like to be the basketball team manager? Which pretty much just meant, you know, like wheeled the balls out. But it was fun to just be a part of the sport and be involved in it and be accepted and feel like part of the team, even though I wasn't playing the game. So I think that that's awesome.
Yeah, well, a lot of the jobs, if you look at the NFL or the NBA or the NHL, you know, only less than 1% of that organization is actually the players. It's actually all the people producing it and the event planning and, you know, just the operations manager of when they're traveling is an entire team usually of people just doing that. What about health and wellness and people that are, you know, your physical therapists after they get hurt and the doctors? Like, there are so many people that make all of those organizations actually make money. Mm-hmm. Without them, they wouldn't be anything. There would just be a whole bunch of people, you know, slapping pucks on the ice for fun. They get to make money because of how everything is generated. And we are seeing that completely overlap into esports plus others. Mm-hmm. Because you have to be able to interact with audiences. If you're a shoutcaster, you have to know the game inside and out. But we're also integrating that 4K, like it's much easier in order to jump into that production level. And now it's also about coaching. We have a whole new slew of coaches coming in that have to be able to psychologically talk to students who have potentially never been coached at the age of 18 or even in college. We heard that seniors in college have never had an actual coach before. So there's a psychology behind that as well. I grew up playing sports, but I also grew up playing games. So I had no problem taking constructive criticism, but there are a lot of students that aren't used to that. And that is a change in mentality and methodology for coaches as well as players. So there's all that going on.
And I know that we're focused more on the K-12 space, but, you know, it's certainly a big play in the high ed space as well. I know that at UNC, where I went to college, they just opened this huge gaming facility and it's getting mm-hmm. a lot of traction. So I guess kind of a two-part question, you know, how are you seeing the evolution in the K-12 space? Are you seeing more of it? And, you know, and as some of these schools decide that they want to start a program in the K-12 space so that then they can build for the higher ed, you know, later down the line, you know, what should they consider first? What's the most important thing for them to be successful as they launch these programs? And then another question, how can our partners help these customers be successful?
Well, a lot of what we're seeing in K-12 is they're onboarding esports programming, knowing that over 175 universities and colleges across the United States and growing are giving out scholarships for esports. They're actually recruiting from high school. So students that may never thought that they, A, could go to college, or B, wanted to go to college because there was nothing that they wanted to learn, all of a sudden they're like, ooh, I love shoutcasting, or I love yeah. event planning. I had no idea. Or I am actually playing a game that I love, and I can actually go to college playing video games? Like, are you insane?
Yeah.
And that's what we hear from a lot of parents, as well as a lot of administrators that are not in the space, that they're like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm like, no, there's tons of money in expanding. Because colleges and universities know that about 30% of incoming freshmen have played some sort of, you know, traditional sport, a stick and ball sport. 90% have played video games. So that is a massive chunk of the population that they could easily onboard. And with K-12, it usually doesn't cost as much, right? So again, back to the CTE, they're finding ways to pay for the computers and using them as dual use, knowing that they're going to be used for school during the day, but they're beefy enough and big enough with graphics cards to be able to use in gaming and esports in the afternoon. But and also in college universities, there are a lot of colleges that are starting to talk to high schools and say, hey, why don't you offer a credited class that could be college credit in your high school that is a very general esports class? To get them ready as to what is being offered at that local college or university, thus potentially increasing their admissions. So we are seeing a lot of that. And then I think a lot of the other piece is just in general, students are already engaged with this. And that's why a lot of teachers are coming to us saying, hey, we know the students are playing because they're on their phone or they go home and they play. we want them to be engaged here. Like, they're asking us. And then in the next 6 months, what we're hearing from a lot of high schools is, Jeff, they're asking us questions we can't answer. They're like, okay, how does my favorite streamer do this on their Twitch channel or on their YouTube channel? And the teachers are like, I don't know. Like, we need to find that out. So that's where this big part of curriculum is coming in, you know, with Adobe Photoshop, After Effects, and things of that nature. The teachers already know 90% of all of those tools. They can teach somebody how to use Photoshop. What they don't know is that 10% of how it's used in esports. As soon as we can help bridge that gap, which we do, you're going to find that students and teachers alike are going to love the outcome, because you don't have to say, hey, try this. It's like the students are actually hungry and wanting to learn it. And that is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a growing space. I know that when, you know, I kind of started hearing about esports and, you know, it's just evolved so much. I think it started, especially a lot for the parents and teachers, oh, we don't want these students playing video games. You know, this is counterintuitive to everything that we've been telling them. So, I mean, just the evolution that, you know, I've seen just over the last couple of years, where going from, oh, it's just a video game, to now there's all these other opportunities, and how do we build this into the STEM lab? It's been amazing to see the change in a very short period of time.
Yeah, and from a partner's perspective, you know, we have a lot of amazing partners, and what they need to understand is esports is not good, better, best. Unlike traditional salespeople are used to, it's, hey, this is a good computer, this is a better computer, this is the best computer. Esports is different. Esports is, okay, what are you trying to accomplish? What do you already have set up? Do you have a space? How much are you looking to spend to renovate said space? Do you want to start with 6 PCs? Do you want to start with 60 PCs? Do you have space for that? Do you already have clubs that are in varsity programs like an HSEL or a NACEF or a Playverse? Like, these are all questions you need to understand, because product is really the easy part. You take your graphic intensive game, how many years do you want to use this? Because AR and VR are going to be colliding into the esports space in the next 3 to 5 years. And then what goals do you want with it? That tells you what product it is, but that's a 5-minute conversation. The other part is, did you know that gaming PCs have to be updated every Tuesday? And sometimes you have a hot fix during the day. And the more PCs you have, the more games you have, the more bandwidth it takes to update those every Tuesday. When do you want to do that? What kind of warranties are you going to have? Do you have somebody that's tech savvy that could also do like an IT dive in if there is a problem with the computer? And all of a sudden that blows people's minds. And they're like, we wish somebody had gone through this with us before we started esports, because somebody else already just came in and sold us this $4,000 computer to run a game that actually is super, super simplistic and only could have cost you $1,100. So that, and how do you want the space to look? Esports is just as much about learning as it is about the environment and wanting the students to be a part of it. With CTE classes, they do have, you know, your regular lighting during the day, but some K-12 spaces are coming in and running colored lighting. Turns off during the day, and at 2:15 they shut all the lights off, they close the windows, and they turn on all this cool colored lighting to give it that environment that the gamers want, that they're used to, that they think is cool, that they want to brag about to their friends. And that's just as valid of having a program and getting students engaged as it is having the computers. So I would encourage a lot of the channel partners to make sure that they are doing justification by asking a lot of these questions. Operations management, what are they going to do to manage that space? Are you using a GG Leap or a GG Rock or remote deployment server instead of having to update them? Do you have somebody that knows what's going on? Do you have coaching available? Do you need it? You know, all these questions. And then, oh, by the way, yeah, when you want product, here's what we recommend. Done. Very simplistic.
One of the things I took away from that, Jeff, is there's a lot of pieces, there's a lot of parts. It's really, you know, you customize these environments based on what the customer needs, and there's, you know, different things the partner can recommend and how they can help them. And, you know, for some of our partners that maybe this is a new space and they're trying to branch into this, what are the first couple questions they need to ask, and then how can Lenovo help them? Funny that you were talking about the lights. I have wanted a Legion laptop for I don't know how long, only because the keyboard lights up for no other reason other than it lights up.
Sometimes that's all the reason you need. We'll contact you in a couple months and be like, "And where have you been?" You'd be like, "I don't know, I'm playing League of Legends like crazy."
Exactly.
You know, a lot of it, the questions that you want to ask starting out are, do you already have a program? Are students already participating? Meaning, do you have a group on campus of students that are already participating in some format in esports, in gaming? Is there a gaming club at your school? Things of that nature, just to see if there's already engagement, or are you starting literally from scratch? Obviously, what do you want to do? Do you have a space or do you not have a space? There are schools that we have that have a space picked out, and it's only for gaming. There's no CTE a part of it. While most of them are CTE, we also have others that don't even have that lab set up yet, and they're pitching for it in the next couple of years. So they want mobile laptops in order to go to the library or the gymnasium or one of the science classrooms that they can just put on a desktop and use for right now. So it's really, what are a lot of the goals and successes that that school wants to attain? The partners are just there to kind of fill in the gaps. And that's where we come in as well. That's where you get a hold of me, you get a hold of Susan Reynolds. There's a whole bunch of other people that are being onboarded from a Lenovo perspective that are specifically around being able to talk about esports in a non-sales perspective. That's what I am. When I go in, it's not a sales presentation. It is a, let me help you. What you so choose to do is up to you. But that's where our reps kind of like get to back up and say, hey, this is where it is. But if you're always transparent and you just want the school to succeed, it shouldn't matter if it's 6 PCs or 60 PCs. It should matter about the school's success. Because if the school is going to be successful, the representative or the company or the channel partner, they will be coming to you in 6 months saying, we went from 6 kids to 100. Holy cow, what's next? And that's when you come to us and you're like, Jeff, what are you seeing across the board? What are trends looking like? And that's not in just North America, even though we're talking about it. That's global. So there's everybody's talking about it right now. You know, we're onboarding curriculum because there's a lot of schools and districts are saying we need curriculum to go along this. This is amazing. Their programs are growing so quick and the students are so hungry learning that there's something cool that they want to be a part of. They're like, where's the curriculum to go with it? So we're working on that. They're expanding their programs so fast operationally. They don't know if they can keep up with it. They're like, do you have solutions that can help us run the program? And the answer to that is that they're coming because the schools keep telling us what they're needing because of the growth factor. But I think that's the key part. If you are building that program for success and the partners are saying, what is success to you? We can easily help them garner that. Everything in baby steps. You will find that that school will love the fact they're successful and everybody gets to win-win together.
Are you seeing what the customers are quantifying as success? Is that changing or is it kind of stayed the same from when this started? Or, you know, when they say what is success, I mean, is there kind of a overall answer or is it just completely different per school?
Every school's different. I mean, I think the key part of success and what a lot of administrators right out of the gate ask about is, well, how much is it going to cost me?
Yeah.
And my answer immediately is, I don't know what you want to be successful, so I can't tell you. They're like, we have some of the best product in gaming in the world. We're the number one gaming PC manufacturer in the world. Again, that's the easy part. We've got that taken care of. That's solid. What do you as an administrator really want this program to do? And sometimes they say, I don't know, we just heard esports is a big thing and we should have it. We usually tell people to start with an engagement strategy. Bring all the kids you can together because gaming is great in that it doesn't matter if they're male or female, what color their skin is, who they pray to, what their sexual orientation is, or even if they have disabilities. As soon as they hit the keyboard and mouse or the controller, they're all the same. And gamers don't care.
Right.
Engaging students that now feel like they have a home, they will tell you what they want. And when we kind of put it that way, they're like, okay, well, let's put some metrics around that. We have 0 kids right now. Let's get a program of 20 together. That's what we want to do. We want to engage 20 students that show up twice a week to just participate in something. And what you find is all of a sudden that 20 turns into 80. And you're like, whoa, okay. And they're saying, we want to learn this. We want to do streaming. We want to do production. You know, we want varsity teams. We want to like, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And that's when they come to us again. And they're like, okay, it's like the Field of Dreams. You know, we built it. They came in droves and the consistency is there. Now what's next? And I think that's the most wonderful thing. That's when you know success is happening and partners can then jump in, contact us or not and just say, okay, listen, this is really where we need to. We know that streaming is a big thing that's next. We know the curriculum is a big thing that's next. We know that jerseys and entering into actual leagues is next. We can help with all that.
So Jeff, we've talked a lot about the products. You know, when you're talking about these CTE spaces, you know, what are you seeing? What products are most successful to allow them to kind of do the gaming perspective, but then also the learning and curriculum?
The games that are played actually are a little bit more graphic intensive than what's actually being used in the classroom, whether it be, you know, AutoCAD or any of the Adobe suite or anything like that. So what we usually recommend is the systems we have currently have maybe an i5 or an i7 by Intel. Microsoft operating system, that's 100% across the board what a lot of gamers use anyway, which is great. And then it really depends on what games you're playing. Most in K through 12 play Rocket League and League of Legends, which don't need a lot of power to run, which is amazing. But yeah, what we see is a lot of people going with the RTX 3060 cards because they are trying to have the system for the next 3 to 5 years. So they want a little bit more heat than a GTX 1660 Ti. But a 1660 Ti will work in a pinch too, because they are so almost overpowered for a lot of the school learning and curriculum that's there right now, just in your general CTE classes.
Great. Yeah. And I think, you know, just looking at the systems, you know, kind of we talked about that customization piece. I mean, there's the range from, I mean, not necessarily good, better, best, but you've got this super high-end system that you may not need, but you can also achieve the same goals with playing the game that you need kind of with some lower specs. So I think that's awesome, just considering all of the different platforms we have and chipsets and operating systems. So that's great. I know that we have so many of our partners, a lot of the ones that I've talked to, they're eager to get into this space. I think, you know, 3 years ago, it was kind of a tiptoe and how do we go from here? And I know that we've seen a lot more involvement, and I know that they're going to be eager to reach out to you, Jeff. So I imagine after this, you're going to be hearing from a lot of our partners so that they can reach out to their customers and see how they can get their customers started and what kind of programs they can help build and how we can help them help their customers and then continue to grow from there. So I think you'll be hearing a lot from them in the future.
And that's fine. We have people onboarding to kind of help us with that. The best part is we don't want to jump in and have to do their job so that we're a bottleneck. We can train their entire sales team to get the gist of it. They can come on a couple calls with us so they feel what it's like. But I'll say this, the companies have to really want to do it. If they're just thinking it's going to be good, better, best, get people in the program and in your company that actually think that this is cool, and they will be unbelievably successful because they believe in the passion and what is great coming out of it, which is students being engaged and wanting to learn. If they keep thinking along that, product and services solutions are the easiest part you ever have to talk about.
I will have you back on as a guest. I would love to hear more, and especially as we go into the coming year, just finding out, you know, what new things do we have to offer and what new solutions. And I'd love to bring on some of, you know, the customers that Lenovo has helped outfit their spaces and kind of hear how they started and what they did. So maybe we can do that on a future episode, just kind of hearing from our customers and our partners that helped and just, you know, how they got there and how we can replicate that success across the board.
Yep, we already have some amazing stories, like University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina is a partner of ours, Seton Hall, University of Cincinnati, Goal Academy is a K-12, Santa Margarita is a K-12, Klein ISD is doing amazing things, and a whole bunch of other K-12s are doing tournaments and leagues and all this really cool stuff. And it's our job just to bring it all together and help these partners show those use cases and show success. Not to sell PCs, that's the end of it, that's the easy part, but to show that they can provide successful opportunities for a lot of students and a lot of faculty and staff, and that will automatically do the sales for them.
Well, I mean, we know that we have great products here at Lenovo. So like you said, I think, you know, building that success, what does it look like? How can we build these programs? You know, the products are a great complement, but I mean, we know that we have great products, but that other piece is going to be critical. So I would recommend that we have the Tar Heels on first. As a UNC Tar Heel myself, I would love to,
I understand,
to have them on. Got to have my loyalty.
I mean, you let me know. I'll call Lee and we'll find a time to do it for sure.
Jeff, this was great. Thank you so much for being here today. I feel like every time I talk to you, I learn 10 more things and have 10 more pages of questions. So thank you so much for being here today and just talking about what you're seeing in the space and, you know, how our partners can help our customers and where we can go from here. So thank you so much for being here on our first K-12 Community Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to coming back.
As always, thank you to our valued partners at Microsoft. We'll be back with more technology trends and education in future episodes and look forward to having you back in the future. Thanks, everybody.